You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, one of my favorite guests, Julian Rose, joins us again from Poland. Julian is a champion of organic farming and a hands-on president of the International Coalition to Protect the Polish Countryside. He and his partner co-launched a highly successful campaign for a GMO-free Poland while leading a high-profile defense of peasant farmers, who he holds up as the true guardians of biodiversity throughout the world. As a result of their efforts, there are now GMO-free zones established in Poland, leading the way throughout our global community and setting the standards for what's possible. Additionally, Julian is a brilliant author and essayist. His first book is called Changing Course for Life, and his new book, In Defense of Life, Essays on a Radical Reworking of Green Wisdom, are both available at Amazon Books. And you can find out more on his website, which is www.julianrose.info. So let's welcome him back to the show now. Hi, Julian. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, Lance. Good to be back.
Yes, it's been a while, so I'm guessing that you probably have a lot to share tonight.
Actually, I do have quite a lot to say tonight, but I'd be very surprised if you didn't too.
Well, I'll let you start first, because you're the guest.
I will tell you the news, Lance, and I'd have to say it's not the best, because I've spent the last 6 weeks in a splint on my leg, having slipped and fallen and broken my ankle on Easter Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
And subsequent to that, I developed a very inflated prostate and had to have a plastic tube inserted up my penis
that
I can pee into a plastic bag. And that's what's going on at this very moment as I sit here.
I'm so sorry, Julian.
And my pee into a plastic bag. But, you know, other than that, Lance, I'm in great form.
Well, I remember one of our conversations. I woke you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you were in your pajamas.
yes, quite. We got that. At least we managed to get that one sorted out.
Yes, we got that sorted out. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about that, Julian. And I do know that all of our listeners and healers will be sending you positive energies for a quick recovery, as I do myself.
Fantastic. That's why it's so nice talking to people like you and people like the ones who will follow your show. And actually, while still on the subject, I've had wonderful support here in Poland, particularly from healing energies sent by people all over the country. I was absolutely overwhelmed. Mm. I mean, I didn't realize how much they were supporting me and how proud they are of the work that Jadwiga and I have been doing to try and save the Polish countryside from being corporatized and destroyed by the European Union. Which, of course, has been our big work for the last 10, 15 years.
Yes.
And, you know, what came up, I've got quite a lot to talk about, actually, here, because we're going to talk a little bit about France, the politics there. We're going to talk about the situation in England, where they're calling a general election right now. And we're going to talk about the situation in Poland.
Okay,
but
good.
In Poland, where I am at this very moment, sitting in this little farmhouse with my leg in the splint, actually, I'm glad to say it's been moved out of the splint and put into a much more soft, sort of ski boot type thing, which is much easier to get around with, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's much more comfortable, basically. So what happened here was, after years and years and years of managing to keep the GMO-free status of the country solid, this current government, which is supposed to be very against GMO, announced about 6 months ago that it was proposing to establish GMO zones, would you believe, in various parts of the country. Not GMO-free zones, folks, GMO zones, dedicated to those who wish to plant GMO.
Oh, dear.
And you wouldn't believe it, really, would you? So we had to crank up the old system again, and once more onto the breach, dear friends, once more, and rally our supporters, activists, etc., and go to battle with the government on this. And the good news on this front is that people were fantastic in supporting this. And we went into the Sejm, which is the Polish parliament, and we went to two meetings, which we demanded be held. And we told them quite outright into their faces, the people who are responsible for this act, that the citizens of their country should be listened to and supported by government, not that the people of the country have to listen and support government. In other words, the government, it has the role, according to the Polish constitution, of listening and supporting the needs of the people. And they were quite shocked. I don't think anyone in senior government had ever heard anyone stand up and say that to them. It was like a massive wake-up call about what government's actually supposed to do. So we reminded them that at least 80% of the nation had demanded that the country remain GMO-free, and that this move was entirely against the interests of the people and against the ethos of their own party. Mm-hmm. And indeed, that by following some quasi-regulation that they'd found from the European Union, which appeared to demand this as a necessary step to protect free trade, we managed to get legal support in showing that this was a misinterpretation and that actually there was a, once having established the status of being GMO free, one was in a position as a government to refuse to act on this idea of introducing GMO zones. Mm. So we're in a sort of stalemate at this very moment in time, Lars, where we've got them in a corner, but then desperate to not completely shelve this idea. Well, we all know what's going on, don't we? I mean, we all know what politics today is all about. It's about backhanders, it's about money, it's about power, it's about keeping the status quo going, whatever, and it's about not losing their jobs and all the rest of it. So they're hanging on. But that, I thought I would tell you that story first because it's uppermost in my mind.
Well, yes, I knew that that was coming.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you knew it, too.
Yeah, of course.
So how this falls out really is on your shoulders, you know, the shoulders of the Polish people and the will of the people there that have been farming for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years on their own without fancy devices and things to purify the milk and various other things which would put them out of business.
Exactly. And what's good now, of course, is that, you know, the consumer is getting involved. And I said from the beginning of our campaign, you will never win this campaign unless you get the consumer on your side. Mm-hmm. Because the consumer is, you know, is not 80% of the vote and the farmers, well, 15 maybe, you know. So actually, the consumer power, when it decides that it doesn't like what it hears, and it's damned if it's going to agree to GMO food in its country, once it rallies behind a call, then the government's in serious trouble. But government, in spite of the fact that Poland has you know, very high population of small farmers, the government always knows that it still can keep the kosh on them. But once the consumers get involved, it's a different story.
Yes, We're going through something similar to that over here, but unfortunately there's so much propaganda and so much ignorance and denial and lack of interest in things that are healthy by the masses that most people seem to be relatively unaware of the dangers that are on the horizon, not just from GMOs, but from all the other things that have been thrown at us. And it's a perfect storm. So it's
perfect storm.
Yes.
Exactly that.
Indeed.
I mean, so, you said it.
Now, you were going to mention something about the European Union, and I do know that the United Kingdom, interestingly enough, opted out of the European Union.
Well, of course, that's the big news, isn't it, really? I mean, the Brexit, as it was called, which was building for the last couple of years, the idea that England might actually, when put to a referendum, the vote might go in favour of Brexit. Well, whenever it was, I lose track of time, it was 7 or 8 months ago now, much to the astonishment of the media in the UK and of the government itself, which was, in spite of the fact that if the government launched the idea that Brexit might be possible, it was doing its damnedest to try and prevent it actually happening. The actual vote came out that indeed the referendum was won by those who favoured exiting the European Union. And I tell you what, it really shook up everything.
Yes.
And it was quite amazing in a way. And the people in a way who were responsible for swinging the vote this way, and it was, you know, about 3% over those who were against it, so it wasn't insubstantial, were the old guard of what you might call the old Britain, who believed in the pride of the nation, believed in the importance of the existence of a nation state against being ruled by technocrats from Brussels, against, in many respects, globalization itself and the destruction of indigenous jobs, good food, lifestyle, and all the rest of it.
Oh, yes.
So enough of the old guard left, you know, probably mostly in their 60s and 70s, to swing this vote. And ever since then, it's been like, oh, almost headline every day, Brexit, we're out. But of course, Lance, politics isn't really like this, and the reality is not quite as simple as Britain being out of the European Union. It's going to be a long, protracted business.
Yes.
And a hell of a lot of crazy wheeler dealing with these technocrats in Brussels, who, of course, are desperate for the rest of the European Union to hold together in case the whole thing should suddenly go down like a pack of cards and break up the famous fascistic centralized state control system that it is, revert back to the sanctity of the nation state, and reinvent a Europe made up of many countries interacting with each other in a friendly way. You know, that is the sort of nightmare scenario for the European Commission. And yet the Brexit has definitely put the spanner in the works.
Good, good. That's good news.
It sure is good news. And it's time it happened in the States too, by the way.
Yes, well, yes. How would you see that unfolding here?
I see the breakout. I see actually the number of different states in America have lodged in the last 3 years the notion that they are going to break out of the union.
Yes, yes.
Because they feel that they're being pushed towards a police state, and that they can no longer take the word of government as the supportive, democratic, and principled approach which they would have expected if the Constitution of America had been adhered to, as opposed to completely violated by Obama and his predecessors.
Well,
so
yes,
there is a rumbling been going on for quite a long time. I mean, I think that people like Alex Jones, you know, and the others who take a similarly robust view of the future would be at the leading edge of suggesting that this movement rapidly gathers pace before America descends into a completely chaotic police state situation.
Yes, well, of course, most people that are listening to this show anyway are aware that there's a shadow government that runs the whole global operation, and that the people who actually sit in the chairs that are supposedly elected as presidents are placed there long before they get into that position to be elected. So
Absolutely.
They really are just figureheads. And so people talk about, you know, presidents as if they run the world. Well, that's, they're actually at the lowest point, and the corporations are above them, and the corporations handle most of the highly secretive technologies and interplanetary disciplines that are going on underneath our noses. And so we're just kept in the dark, and most people are just happy to drink their beer and watch the games and just be kept in the dark about, you know, mining operations on the far side of the moon or a Mars base that exists and has existed there for some time. But we know that the shadow government runs everything, and that it doesn't really matter who sits in that chair. It's all predetermined, and it doesn't matter who gets voted in. So I have kind of been expecting the whole thing to crumble because of the lack of funds that are actually available in the banks. They skim the money off every day. There's all the money in the world is taken out of the accounts, and so there really is no money anywhere to be given back. It's taken out by the computers, and so where that money goes is most likely to run the shadow government and their agenda with terror events and so on and so forth. I just had Ole Domegaard on the show, who has spent 30 years researching terrorist events and killings, murders of presidents and musicians and Hollywood movie stars. So this whole stage is really, just like Shakespeare or whoever Shakespeare really was, is a stage, and we're the players, and the only choice we have really is to become more conscious of our roles and conscious, period. But so it's interesting to see that these plays are going on. Now, France.
I would say, Lance, that you know, you've absolutely correctly restated what we've talked about many times, which is indeed, of course, the shadow government runs absolutely everything.
Yeah.
The banking system itself, I think, has got to the point where liquid or actual cash money is no longer particularly important, because it invents electronic money at will.
Right.
And, you know, the people who take loans, etc., in the course of repaying them, keep the banks in business.
Yeah.
And that's the way the whole thing works. And it doesn't matter how many zeros there are or not, they are literally kept afloat by citizens repaying loans, or at least attempting to, when actually almost no money has left the banks at all, other than the fact that on paper and in reality, or a certain type of reality, the country is totally bankrupt, yes.
Yeah.
And of course has such a large debt that it doesn't look ever foreseeable that it could ever be paid back. So what you're really saying, and I'm saying, is we're living in fantasy land. We're living in a virtual reality world.
Yes.
We're living in a world where we are, what we're being told has absolutely nothing to do with the state of consciousness you're referring to.
Yeah.
Which, when you're in that state of consciousness, or at least approaching that state of consciousness, you can step out of that virtual reality world and step into something which is real. And only from that perspective can you actually start to make sense of what's going on the planet.
Yes, very well said. Very well said. And the funny thing is that the what you recognize as being real tends to be what's organic, and what is naturally organic, and it's what fuels our body, and that there are organic systems that run our that heal us. For instance, you don't really have to think too much about knitting your bones together and healing them, because your body has the wisdom to know how to do that itself. And the more we take over of our body's functions by getting vaccinations and you know, taking things in that alter the wisdom of our body. Then, penicillin, for instance, is one of the worst things that we can take, and some people are prescribed penicillin when they have a runny nose. So we're in a bad state because we don't trust our bodies. We don't trust anything around us, and the only thing we trust is the fear that is pummeled at us day and night if for those of who listen to television and radio and normal radio, that's just designed to put us in a state of fear.
Absolutely, sir. You splendidly said, Lance. You and I totally agreement on that.
Yeah.
I mean, there is absolutely no doubt about it that this fear ticket is absolutely the key to keeping the world in a state of constant tension, stress, and I mean, and fear itself. And in that state, one always is searching for some big brother to come up with some solution and make you feel, oh, actually, it's okay. And this is the biggest problem of all. I mean, this is really where we nail it. So long as that fear state is dominant, people cannot actually get into a position in their own lives, in their own thinking, in their own quietness of thought and reflection, to enable themselves to take a step or two backwards and look at the reality again. Because your example of vaccinations, penicillin, and all the other big pharma ways there are of keeping people in a state of permanent sickness, and that is exactly what they're supposed to be doing, because after all, that keeps them in profit. Those things will always dominate. But step back a little bit, find some means to step out of that, and all of a sudden, the rather simple issues like you're speaking about, organic food, the ability to have access to genuinely clean and good quality water, fresh air, etc., reinvigorates the immunity system in human beings and enables them once again to have the natural ability to resist what is called disease.
Right.
And, you know, that can go from HIV to cancer to everything. And you'll find when you do the research on those subjects that all of them are a lie.
Yes.
They're a lie. I mean, I was researching cancer recently because somebody was suggesting that my prostate was cancerous. So I said, look, I don't believe this.
Right.
Cancer is actually a form of protection. It's a form of creating something which prevents something worse happening. But if you don't get your body going in the right direction once you know you've got something called cancer, then, of course, it will get worse because it's can't stand there forever protecting you. It
right.
will protect you long enough for you to be able to get your act together and to get onto this real world we're talking about and out of the virtual reality world, get back onto organic food, decent water, a stressless lifestyle, get out of the entire rat race
yes.
of commercialism if you possibly can, because it's extremely difficult for most people to do that. And of course, that's the biggest trouble, isn't it, Lance, in the end?
Yes.
You know, if you've got a 9-to-5 job,
yeah,
and you get back exhausted. You know, you stick your feet up on the damn couch, turn on the mesmerizing
yeah.
box
yeah.
in front of you, which is now as big as the wall in front of you, actually, most people's living rooms. Get
right.
out a beer and then fall asleep and find that that's your life for the next 30 years.
Yeah, indeed.
So somehow or other, the issue of being able to earn a living and be able to live a life of truth, very complex scenario for most people.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you have all of those people who are not acting as sovereign beings, but they're being programmed by running programs that are here to condition us to believe that there's a savior coming, that there's some kind of savior that will come and save us, whether it's ETs or Jesus Christ or Buddha or Mahatma,
yeah.
this one or that one. They're waiting. And so because people put their own sovereignty on hold, waiting for this grand being to come in and swoop in and say, everything is all right, and wave the magic wand, well, that's magical thinking. And so we then don't take action because
that's
we think.
Exactly it.
Yes, exactly. And so that's a very big thing with the churches and the you know, the lies and the distortions, that you need an intermediary to reach, to connect with Source. That's a big lie.
And oh, my goodness me, is it not?
It's one of the biggest lies on the face of the planet.
One of the biggest lies on the face of the planet. But, you know, unfortunately, Lance, we have noticed, you and I, over the years, how that position has been also if you like, taken on board by what you might call the New Age movement.
Yeah.
And similarly movements, not purely New Age, who have
right.
adopted an attitude that to confront the evil in society is somehow against the ability to find inner peace and wisdom through meditation and passive lifestyle. Now, that is an extension of the old religious regime, particularly, let's say, the Catholic view, where you have to have a priest as an intervening factor, etc. But it was all about keeping people passive and prevent them having a direct line to the Almighty, to the to the source of our lives, basically. So that the New Age groups, and there's hundreds and hundreds of sites all over the internet of one form or another of escapism, because they all, in one way or another, say, no, do not attempt to take action and do not attempt to confront the evil in society. Keep yourself away from it. Keep pure. And this is massively dangerous, because actually it's playing straight into the hands of the powers that be.
Absolutely.
And your hidden agenda people, who we don't see, are laughing while that's going.
Oh, yeah.
It's an extreme situation.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody that can be immobilized through some kind of running program of beliefs, and really when you get down to it, it's all about planting memes and belief systems into the populace.
Yes, it is.
And especially the spiritual New Age part, just like you said, that's absolutely true. I've had guests on my show who are very, high spiritual beings. And when we get into subjects, if I ask a question about some of the things like GMOs or chemtrails or this or that, the answer is I don't get into those lower vibrational events. Those are not my affair.
That's it. I mean, that's really something. And so long as they go on that way, you know, it's going to be tough for people like us to keep the light shining, to keep the lighthouse blinking, if you like.
Right.
But
and then, there's that whole fear of getting angry, the fear that anger is an unjustified emotion. Well, there are forms of energy that can upsurge that are justified, and that has to do with the outrageous injustice of people being murdered all over our planet, or being taken. The pedophilia situation is coming out all over the place. Pizzagate, and that goes to the very top, because everything starts at the top, as we both know.
Yes, Lance, you're right on the mark there. Now, I call this anger, which is positive, righteous indignation.
Yes.
Now, that's a completely different thing from
absolutely.
You stupid shits and fuckers, we're going to, you know what I mean?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Righteous indignation comes from the heart, comes from the soul, comes from the solar plexus, comes from one's passion for living and appreciating the beauty of this planet and keeping it alive at all costs. That's where anger gets channeled into the right channels.
Yes.
And that's where we can change the world. Moving on for a moment to pedophilia, etc., you will be glad to hear that in spite of being holed up in bed for most of the day with one problem or another, I have not been idle in my writing. And I've just completed an essay, which I will send to you once I've managed to type it up, and I'm very slow typing at the moment, called Satanic Practice and Party Politics in the United Kingdom.
Ooh, that sounds like a good one. I'll have to share that one.
I'll definitely share that one with you. This is going to be a bit of a blockbuster.
Oh, good.
Because the situation in the UK, which in my view has always led the world on the dark side, you know what we're speaking about? We speak about the dark side, we're speaking about satanic practice. It's led the world in this respect for a long time. And the situation today is that within the Conservative Party, particularly the current government, that is, it has been revealed that paedophilia is absolutely widespread. And that whistleblowers who have attempted to expose it have found themselves jailed with no particular legal case for them being able to be jailed. In other words, they can't pin on them any wrongdoing. But nevertheless, they've been jailed, and some of them have been kept in solitary confinement for having blown the whistle on a situation which is endemic, where hundreds, if not thousands, of children go missing every year from homes where children have been taken from their parents on the suspicion that parents aren't able to look after them properly. And believe me, it's only suspicion. They've been taken to children's homes, and in those homes, they've been molested, and in certain cases, murdered. And what is being revealed is, ever since the famous Jimmy Savile case came... Right, you remember this now.
Jimmy Savile
was a famous leader of the pop world.
Yes.
And television broadcaster for the BBC. Was a leading exponent of paedophilia. And every time he visited children's home on the spurious notion that he was going to support these children, he raped and demeaned kids. Now, to start with, people thought that it was just him. But what's happened is, of course, researchers have gone deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole and found that this is an epidemic.
Yeah.
And it's an epidemic within the pseudo-elite in the UK. And it's not only paedophilia, it's child sacrifice.
Yes.
What all this leads to is absolutely at the essence of satanic behavior.
Well, this whole world is pretty much
the worship of Baphomet, and it's the worship of the dark side.
Yeah.
Now, when we get into this level, we get into the absolutely key issue about what this element that we call the hidden controllers are all about. Because the hidden controllers are operating on the basis that their power source comes from a satanic source. They don't have the ability to empathize on the human level. They don't have compassion on the human level. They get their energy from a completely different source.
Right.
That source is subhuman. It's not human. On the other hand, it has, in ancient times, it has crossbred with humans. So what you find is there's a mix on the planet of people who are partially human and partially afflicted by this satanic level.
Yeah.
And you get others who are totally committed to the satanic level.
Yeah.
Now, at the level of people who are running the planet, and I talk about America, England, European Union, you name it, everywhere, this is the fundamental issue. And we need to be honest with ourselves about it and say, look, that is the source of the villainy and war and murder and rape and destruction environmentally, eco side of the planet. Almost everything comes back to that. I don't want to go on any more at length about it than that, except to have a conversation with you concerning your view on this subject. But I do believe that in attempting to write this essay, Satanic Practice and Party Politics in the United Kingdom, I have touched on one of the key issues which most of us are unwilling to look at because it's so, so dark and unpleasant.
Well, it has infiltrated music industry, the Hollywood industry. It permeates everything.
Everything.
Everything, and it's so pervasive that I know that there are many Christian outlets that talk about this, and I'm not on any particular side of the fence on this, except that I believe that there is a light side that is is ultimately the source of all things, but this satanic force has taken over, and underneath our noses has become the predominant force of energy on the planet. So you really have to shield yourself and guard against. I mean, even Walt Disney's was a 33-degree Mason. He was set up by the Illuminati to program children, and there are subtle messages. There are Christian channels that put this out. So, I mean, I'm not talking out of my hat. There are people who have researched this that put in subtle messages about sex. to children. Yeah. And
that's really extraordinary. I had heard about that. Yeah.
And it goes on and on.
So, you know, as you're right to say, you have the Super Bowl in America, and then you have Lady Gaga and Miley Cyrus and all the rest of them, wearing the Saturnian uniforms and simply showing off ever more and more their commitment to this particular way of life. And the really problematical side of it, of course, is that this becomes popularized as fashion.
Yes.
therefore, kids of all sorts of family backgrounds, who would never actually be pushed in that direction by their parents, find themselves wandering around with T-shirts, so sort of advertising it,
Yeah. Well, it really is a battle or a war that's been going on for thousands of years, and it's an old story. And so this is really nothing new. It's just kind of coming to a head.
Yes.
And it does seem like it's the many-headed hydra.
Exactly.
Literally.
Well, my view is that we have to, those of us who are more aware, have to tackle it head on if we can. And we do have to just keep bashing away at the truth. And as long as we hold the truth firmly in our minds as the target of all aspects of our lives, we will be helped and supported by what I call the sort of archangel and angelic level, or you can simply call it, the force, the dominant force of beauty and love of the universe. They come and they support us. Now, this is a message for those people that say, oh, no, you should never get involved in this, because if you want to progress on the spiritual path, you have to embrace the battle that we're discussing. You have to be a foot soldier in that battle. You have to confront the reality and you have to try and change it. It's extraordinarily simple. It actually doesn't even need saying if people could get back to something more simple in their lives and realize it. And if you stick only with your meditation and your sadhanas and your peace and your love and goodwill and light to all, etc., and avoid that, you actually are not progressing down any spiritual path at all. That is a complete con. And it's extraordinarily important that people embrace this.
Yes. Well, before we go too far off on the usual tangents, which we love to cover, I wanted to make sure that we got to France, because that was something that intrigues me. I heard that was really a battle of who the Illuminati wants to get in there, who the shadow government, let's just call it the shadow government, who they want to get in there that is going to plunder and rape, which is what the shadow government does. It plunders, rapes, corrupts, and kills, murders, and bribes. And it's in league with the mafias of the world. And they've all become very civilized, what is going on in France now?
Well, that's it. I was mentioning this because they've elected, and 2 weeks ago, the French went to a general election. And there was a lot of concern, particularly in the European Commission, about what might happen, because we have Marie Le Pen, who is actually a anti-globalist, supporter of human rights, supporter of workers' rights, a believer in giving support to those who are indigenous to their country, rather than accepting anybody to take jobs. And generally, you might say someone who supported the view that France as a nation state could manage its own affairs without having to be bullied by the world and the European Union, was gaining a lot of ground and getting a lot of support from the electorate. And it was touch and go whether she or the more mainstream political units were going to make the first round, because it goes around two rounds of the French elections. The first round goes through and they lose a number of people who are trying to get up there, and it comes down just to two of them. Well, Marie Le Pen got through, and a man called Macron got through. But Macron, M-A-C-R-O-N, came from absolutely nowhere. He hadn't even been a politician. He was a kid, 39 years old, who had been invented in the last 6 months, especially to counteract Le Pen. who they held up as a sort of vicious human being, vicious foreign hater, you know, who would destroy everything which the European Union believed in, etc., etc., etc. Anyway, they went into the second round, and it was looking as though it was going to be quite close. But in the end, well, the public who got involved in voting, and it wasn't a huge amount, voted for Macron, the invented politician who was 100% pro-European Union, 100% for globalization, actually for expansion of the European Union into other areas, and for everything which is to do with the Rothschild regime and the banking regime. So, in other words, he was hand-picked and he was made into, and he's a good-looking young man, you know, that's the problem. He waves his arms around and smiles, and the people all think, oh, he's a nice young man. You know, he's a nice young man who's going to save France from losing its status in the European Union and all that sort of stuff. And he got in. And he, as you completely rightly say, he was indeed just exactly that. He was the shadow government's hand-picked toy boy, actually. Yeah. That's and right. It was really shocking what happened. And a number of commentators, including myself, say there was a massive mind control exercise. I think now the actual what happens in French politics is they have to pull together an actual political party behind the president. And in the process, that's going to happen within the next 2 or 3 weeks. But my opinion is that the French people will suddenly wake up out of this hypnosis and discover what they've done. And there will be turmoil, but it'll probably take a year before that really happens.
Yes.
So, you know, here was a case, a quite remarkable case of mass hypnosis being used and a person being put in there who had absolutely no CV, if you like, to show that he had any capability at all to run the country, elected, just like that, bang.
Wow. Well, that is mind control for you, and we are all subject to it. The whole planet is under a constant mind control on many levels, especially invisible. We don't even have to turn on the television to be under the influence of mind control. Look at the cell phones that connect up to the towers and the cloud that you're in when you carry a cell phone. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So there are many ways that we're subject to mind control, and I know that with people in their clear thinking and clear vision would never, ever want somebody like that who was a liar and a thief stealing that position, who is going to destroy France and the unique and wonderful, charming aspects of France will become homogenized into a McDonald's on every corner.
And yes, exactly.
And that's exactly how I see it.
That's exactly how it is. I want to, at this point, mention something about mind control in relation to something going on in England, actually, which is, it's all going to be in my essay, but I'm going to pick this one out to tell the folks about it, which is that the British government has decided that it is going to put a huge amount of money and effort into promoting the idea, not the idea, the reality, excuse me, of driverless cars.
It is said
by the year 2022 there will be a predominance of driverless cars on the roads of Britain. Now you actually, I mean, I just, first of all, I just roared with laughter to myself about it, and then I thought, as always, the laughter fades away and the sort of sick feeling comes into one's stomach as one realizes they actually mean it.
And
of course, and the first driverless cars have already been developed. Oh, but they're not working very well, actually. They've had a few crashes. But, you know, they're trying to spin the idea that you can sit there in what was the driver's seat, sitting, playing with your iPhone, sort of watching other sort of phantom-like ghost cars heading off on the specifically planned satellite route from A to B, while you absolutely have no control whatsoever over the whole thing. And I said in my essay that one of the last things left for humanity at this time, one of the last pleasures left, is that you can get into something with four wheels, an engine, and some brakes, and actually use your skills, your judgment, and your powers of reason to
That's
get
a
yourself AA, which you want to be in, to be where you actually want to go, without being interfered with by some satellite modulation frequency. So, I mean, this is quite in the realm of the fantastic, isn't it?
Well, of course, and you know what's behind that, which is global and galactic artificial intelligence taking over the world.
Yes,
look 100%. At the cameras in England. It seems to be it's happening over here, but in England they've got cameras on every corner, in every bathroom, in every everywhere you look, and even in the televisions. They can see what you're doing, and in the cars, they can, now there's no place where you can go where you're not being watched by Big Brother, and it's come true. It has come
true. George Orwell was British, you know, Lance.
Yes, absolutely. It's an so Orwellian
Aldous,
world.
So was Aldous Huxley.
Yes, both of them. I read them when I was young.
And, they knew, and they told us
artificial
what was going
intelligence
to happen.
Is going to take over.
Of course, you know, one always has. When all of us who are human beings have difficulty foreseeing these things becoming the reality which we're going to live amongst, we always sort of put it forward and put it into the future more. But actually, I think we've surpassed George Orwell's view now.
Yes.
And you're absolutely correct about Britain leading the way in this.
Yes.
We are absolutely ultra-monitored wherever we go. In fact, every attempt to create a quasi-democratic citizens' rights position in England since the Second World War has been steadily dismantled in the last 25 years. And there is almost nothing left of it. It's in tatters and it's in shreds.
Yes.
We are subject to being monitored whether or not we have any suspicion of having practiced or being interested in terrorism. And that is like old hat now. We're all potential terrorists, every one of us.
Yep.
And a threat, therefore, to the future. So, yes, Lance, this is global, but I have to point out over and over again, which I did at the start of this thing, that England has been taking a very strong leading role in this, and it's been very strongly linked to the satanic, ritualistic forms of satanic worship, the hidden government. They're all linked up. And it is coming into the open. And that is the one thing that we can be grateful for, that, you know, this poison is seeping out into the surface now. But it requires great courage and fortitude amongst people to confront it and deal with it and keep a firm eye on the truth.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I was always a big fan of the 007 movies. The last few I've been watching are almost like documentaries. They're telling you exactly where it's going to go. And the last one was one of the best ever. I actually really liked it. It was very well done. And that's when James discovers that there is a move to consolidate all the intelligence agencies. And, of course, behind that was one of his old nemesis. I can't remember his name, but the excellent acting, excellent actors, and basically, they were moving to consolidate the UK and the United States into one agency. And when that happened, then that was when the world would be taken over. Now, another thing to watch out for on your radar is the 5G network. There are a few people who are aware that the 5G network is being rolled out at some point, and it will be the takeover of the human mind, and it will be the creation of a hive mind.
Okay.
So that's 5G something network. That you're going to see in the next period of time. That will happen.
Wow.
They're up to 4G, and when they get to 5, that's the time when all the human minds will be taken over. The minds that are in those cell phones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will be taken over, and the 5G network will have signals that will literally entrain the brains of all humans to be the same, and they will be very controllable by then.
Yeah, and this is the sort of Ray Kurzweil dream and a human nightmare scenario. And, you know, we're talking about the transhuman agenda being fulfilled, if you like. Well, he always claimed that that was going to be around 2030, didn't he?
Yes, but I, you know, that's going to be 2020 probably.
Okay.
Because they're going to start introducing, once the 5G network rolls out, they're going to start introducing chips that will enhance your thinking ability or give you improved.
Sure.
Yeah, and once people start going for that, it will be an avalanche of introducing cyborg technologies into the human body, and that's going to be a very dangerous tipping point for humanity.
Very dangerous indeed. Now, as time is progressing, I just wanted to mention one more rather interesting factual situation with regards Britain and Brexit and the European Union. I mentioned it in the earlier in the program that we cannot guarantee this Brexit is a reality, because there's all sorts of sub agendas going on, where the politics on the surface is in its usual way lying, deceiving people about the reality. We have discovered quite recently, I've been researching this on a very, very excellent program in England called the UK Column, which is a sort of alternative news program where very serious, excellent journalists are involved. They have uncovered the fact that the British Royal Navy, armed forces, Her Majesty's governments, if you like, military, is being sold off or hived off to become a European Union army, which is going to be led by Germany.
Oh dear!
Now, at this, the theory is that we're getting Brexit. You see, now Brexit would be a situation in which we separate ourselves from the European Union, and we retain the status of a nation state, which is protected from invasion by other countries, by a military, by air force, by Royal Navy, etc. But we're getting a Brexit where we won't have an army, a navy, or an air force at all.
Oh.
And it's been revealed that they've been running down the military for the last 3 years, and overtly, covertly, I would say, to start with at least, having discussions with chiefs of staff of various countries within the European Union about creating a single army of Europe, right?
Oh, dear.
A single army of Europe will probably mean that NATO would go into the background or would be subsumed into it, and it would confront everything to the east of Poland, Russia, China, Indonesia, etc., who are, of course, been established as the great problem of the future, the big, nasty, evil world, which we must defeat at all costs. And we can't do so without a single European army to confront and deal with it. So I want people who know or think a little bit about Brexit to get into their heads the fact that it's a massive con. Because how could you have Brexit and the military be so run down that in a position of being a nation state, which has separated itself, not in a position to even defend itself if it was threatened?
Well, that's a very interesting paradox.
Yeah.
And something that is of great concern, no doubt.
Great concern. A great concern, because unfortunately, you know, it's very easy to think, oh, well, look, we don't want more war. We don't want more missiles. We don't want more intervention by the British in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, etc. And I would 100% agree with everybody that says that.
Right.
I know. And this is the difficulty, because young people today will say, yeah, well, who? Good. You know, we're losing our military. You know? But the reality is far more sinister, which is that it plays yet another little trick to play into the hands of the shadow government of the world.
Well, it does seem
take a controlling interest, which will ultimately destroy nation states, obviously, because they get in the way, don't they? They get in the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Britain was almost completely demolished by Germany at one point, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, absolutely, on the brink. Yeah.
And we know that the Third Reich didn't end, that there was a Fourth Reich, that it's very alive and present today, and it's global.
And it's called the European Union, but it's also global, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, every trading bloc in the world is the Fourth Reich.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
Yeah, but that's how it's been carved up. It's been carved up into trading blocks, you know, TTIP and TTP and Trans-Canada,
yes.
All that crap. And actually, one of the things I quite liked about Trump was he said he was going to disband all this stuff. But, you know, Trump is a sort of mad magician, of course, and a man with an ego which is bigger than the universe, I think. So we can't really expect anything much to really come through from his expectations.
Well, he is kind of like the Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland, isn't he? Off with their heads.
I think he is exactly that. He's not really transgender, though, is he? He's rather male.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a female element to him with a sweeping hairdo. I kind of. You know,
lovely, yes.
A bit of Marilyn Monroe, maybe.
Yes. And of course, to cap it all, talking about the various techniques being used to undermine human values, we are now getting a massive push in England towards transgender. We're getting schools suggesting that the boys come to school in skirts because they should find out for themselves what they feel comfortable with. They don't have to be male or female. They can be neither. They can be neuter. They can be sexless.
Well, that's convenient for population control.
Yes, that's it. And
of course
that. And I would even go beyond population control and say it's a way of preventing procreation on the planet and populating the planet. Well, it's like saying an end to procreation of humanity, because if people have no sexuality, there's no procreation.
Yes,
and
yes.
The universe procreates through creative duality, which produces friction, which produces male-female attraction for one another, and which produces beauty, love, art, creativity, and all the beautiful things in life that we love. It all comes through sexuality. Once you start denying sexuality and saying, oh, that's a block on people's freedom, you
right.
know, you can't have people saying, I'm a man, I'm a woman, because, you know, that's a disincentive towards a truly democratic position where everybody's the same.
Yes. Well, I can see the direction that's headed as well, because those who want to run the world and who presently seem to be running it are not going to allow humans to procreate. They will be probably, everything will be selective and chosen, and the traits will already be figured out, and the rich will be able to have children, but they'll be able to have selective, you know, the more genius and more this, more
yes.
that, and they'll pay for those for that
yes.
privilege. So it does seem to be going in that direction. Well, you know, we're almost out of time. I love talking to you so much. It just goes like a snap of the tongue, a snap of the fingers. is there anything last words while you're on your
last words? Yes.
Bed of pain there.
I wrote to my secretary from Poland saying, I wonder if anybody else on my farm knows about my demise. Oh, and she wrote back saying, oh, I thought demise meant death.
Yeah.
So I wrote back, oh my God, so it does.
Oh.
And then I said to her, I didn't mean that, but isn't it an interesting idea that one would announce one's own death?
Well, let's hope and pray that's not the case.
I want to end on the opposite note and announce life as sacred, beautiful, wonderful, and the key to everything which gives us joy and pleasure and keeps us all going. And I send all fond wishes to you, my dear friend Lance, and all those people listening to this program. We've got the fight of our lives in front of us. We must use our courage to its full and never look back.
Wow, that's beautiful, and I'm in total alignment and agreement with you, Julian. You're a wonderful being of light. And get well fast, and thank you so much for coming back. We won't wait so long the next time.
Lovely to be with you.
Okay, lovely too. Good night, Julian.
Good night.